Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
I will be reading from the Life Application Study Bible, Luke chapter 11, verses 21 through 28. For when a strong man like Satan is fully armed and guards his palace, his possessions are safe until someone even stronger attacks and overpowers him, strips him of his weapons, and carries off his belongings. Anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert, searching for rest. But when it finds no one, it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds that its former home is all swept and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there, so that the person is worse off than before. As he is speaking, a woman in the crowd called out, God bless your mother, the womb from which you came, and the breast that nursed you. Jesus replied, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Who hear the word of God and do them. That is pretty simple. But the question is, what does this whole passage of scripture really mean? Oh, kids, you got kids' church. Love you. So what does this passage of scripture really mean? You know, while I was preparing this message, there were so many different ways that this particular meaning can come out. And I was wrestling, well, how am I going to put this across to God's people? You see, we take steps towards protecting our household, right? What do? Some of us, we buff up. Well, some of them, I don't do the buffing thing. I'm talking, you make yourself of such physical stature that you become a little bit intimidating to someone who might want to break into your house, right? And then we find that we need to do other things. So we build fences around our houses. And we install security alarms and security cameras, right? In order to protect our loved ones. And that's good. That's great. But in spite of all of that, there is one who can still get into your house. Who can still get into your house and stir up stuff, right? Who can still get into your house and put animosity between child and parent. Who can still get into your house and sow seeds of discontentment within your own household? Who can still get into your house and sow seeds of adultery and fornication, pornography, you name it? What's his name? Only three people know his name. So it really doesn't matter how much physical security you put on your house. You know? This spiritual attack can still happen. So my question is, what are you doing to protect your household? Later on in the scripture, he wrote about the spirit having left. And my question is, did this spirit just one day decide, you know what, I had enough of this household, let me move on somewhere else? And remember also in the scripture, when we talk about household, we're also talking about our body. Because our body is the household of Jesus Christ. Our body is the temple of Jesus Christ. So when I say household, I'm sort of like using them interchangeably. So does this spirit, this evil spirit, this evil one, just one day decide, well, I'm going to leave Kenneth Barker alone and move on? No, it don't work like that. He was quite happy where he was. I mean, he He was doing a number. But then what happened? In order for this dirt and filth to be cleaned out of the house, what do we need? We need a cleaner. Okay. We need a cleaner. So we go and we ask this cleaner to come into the house. The house is all filled with muck. Have you seen hoarding? Right? So basically, we were hoarders. We hoarded sin. Well, some of us say, well, you know, well, I didn't hoard sin, you know. I just had a little bit of thing that I was working on, you know. Sin is sin. One sin will kill you as sure as a thousand. Amen? Amen? So we hoarded sin. And what happens is that it was too much for us. And then we pleaded. We said, we call that line. Can you help a brother out? So what happens is that Holy Spirit came down and it went inside of us because, you know, we can't clean it up ourselves, right? Right? There's no way that we can do that. So Holy Spirit came down and it cleansed us. It showed us the way. It tapped us on the shoulder whenever we were going in the wrong direction. And he says, listen, Kenneth, wrong direction, 180-degree turn. Okay, fine. And then pretty soon, the house is clean. I mean, we have got a few spots here and there we need to take care of. But for all intents and purposes, the house is pretty clean. So Holy Spirit, not Holy Spirit, the demon, right? The evil one, he left. Because I got a full-time cleaner, right? This cleaner is there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Even when I'm sleeping, the cleaner is working. Because up inside here, sometimes we get some dreams. I'm the only one, right? We get some dreams that's not too pure, right? And I found that once Holy Spirit is there, well, boom, them dreams are gone, right? So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we got a cleaner. But what happens along the way, sometimes we look at the clean house. It's swept clean, the walls spotless, and it's like, wow. And then we ask the question, do I really need a cleaner? I mean, the house is clean, right? Why do I need a cleaner? So I call the cleaner in and I say, well, here's what. How many days a week do you work for me? 7. Okay, here's what. I don't think I need you as much. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of like, let's break it down to 6. And then later on, I call the cleaner in again. So let's break it down to 5. As a matter of fact, I'll call you when I need you. I'll call you when I need you. So I get all busy. And then pretty soon, what happens? I got a little soil on the carpet, right? I don't really notice it as much. But if the cleaner was there, oh, that cleaner is good. She's on, or he, on the ball. Clean it up immediately. I don't notice it. And then a little muck comes in. And I don't notice it. And a little more junk starts piling up. And then what do I say? I say, well, you know what? I got to call that cleaner. You know, what's the number again? You see, Jesus on the prayer line, but I don't know the number. I forgot the number. I got to call him. Well, I'm kind of busy right now, but I've been meaning to get around to that. And pretty soon, other things start coming in. I say, you know what? Let me see how much of this I can do myself. Because it's been so long since the cleaner has been in that I'm almost embarrassed to call the cleaner. And I'm saying, well, I could clean this up by myself. And the more I try to clean, and because I now have a very busy life, right? And the more I try to clean and balance this busy life, it ain't working out. So what do I do? Nothing. And then more and more junk starts to pile up. And before I know it, it's like, what in the world just happened? Man. The evil spirit just moved in again. He saw the house spotless and clean, and he went out and got some of his friends. Right? So you move from a little soil carpet into a gunky old carpet, into filth, into nastiness. It stinks. Right? And then finally, it's absolutely disgusting. And now we go to call Holy Spirit in again. And we say, God, help me. So we get on our knees and we pray, help me. And what Holy Spirit is saying, well, I was there the last time. I left this place. Well, actually, you kicked me out of this place and it was spotless. And now you're coming asking for my help. But I see that what is needed here is not really a cleaning up of the house. What we need is a change in lifestyle. Let me say that again, because I get the feel that some people ain't hearing me. Right? What we need is not a cleaning up of the house, but a change in lifestyle. Because what happened and what had happened was, Holy Spirit comes in and he cleans things out and we just bring junk back in. We clean out the house during spring and we bring more junk back in. It's not a cleaning issue. It's a hoarding issue. And in this scripture, when it talks about, you know, he's coming back, the evil spirit is coming back and bringing his friends with him, right? Bringing some more, even more evil than him with him. Coming back into a house that was once clean. Are our houses clean? Over the many, many years we've been coming to church, we've cleaned it out once. You know, back in the day we used to clean it every year. You all remember those days? Right? De-leaven the house. When was the last time we did a de-leavening of our spirit? You see, what we need to be doing, people, is more than just praying. Because yes, Holy Spirit comes in and he cleans up. But he don't just come in and just clean it up and say, okay, you're good. There's a part that we play. The title of this message is very, very short. The second shortest message I'll ever give, right? Is how far? You see, what happens is that there's a work to be done. And the work is to be done in us. And the work is also to be done in the church, in our society. Right? And we know that the devil, I mean, he's turning over every leaf. He's a busy dude, right? He works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, 27 hours a day, 27 hours a day, 8 days a week. He is working. He knows what he's doing. He's been around this a long time, and he's extremely patient. He waits for the cleaner to leave, and that's when he comes in. Have you ever noticed that when you're on a spiritual high, okay, that, hey, nothing bothers you? It seems as though the devil is never around, right? He's gone, because what he knows is, you know, I'll come back around. Human nature is the same. They're going to slip, and as they're falling, that's when I'll get them. Okay? So what's been happening? There's been quite a few things happening that even within the past few months that we've been giving and we've been feeding you, right? And to the point where I'm wondering, how much of this are we taking in? I mean, we've had quite a few people up here giving various messages, and every message is for a specific purpose. Let me give you an example. January 8th, we go back a ways, right? The message was, who is God? We spoke about the majesty of God. How big God is, how loving God is, how kind God is, how gracious God is. January 15th, who am I? I am a child of God. I was created according to God's own image. And if I'm a child of God, then I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I am loved by God. January 22nd, we talked about discipleship. As I'm a child of God, I am also a disciple of God. And we spoke about what does it mean to be a disciple of God? What is the job description of a disciple? February 5th, we talked about discipleship from the point of view of using the gifts that we've been given. And every single one of us have gifts. And we talked about what is the purpose of these gifts, to be used for the edifying of the body, for doing the work of Jesus Christ. February 12th, we talked about stewardship, effectively using time, talents, and treasures and your gifts in doing the work of God. February 19th, we talk about loving our neighbors, loving them so much that we just have this joy inside of us as disciples, fulfilling our duties of making disciples and sharing the love of God, sharing the gospel of God. February 26th, we talked about conducting ourselves in a manner that's becoming of a disciple. Because the question comes up, if someone learned that you're a Christian, if someone learned that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, a believer, what is their reaction going to be? Is it going to be, wow, if that's what a disciple of Jesus Christ is about, I don't want none of that? Or is it going to be, wow, I want some of that. That's why you are the way you are. Yeah, could you tell me about the hope that lies within you? Because there are certain behaviors that's expected as a disciple. And I'm going back in the days, right? In the old days, we used to call ourselves ambassadors. And that metaphor is quite fitting. We are ambassadors. We represent. We are emissaries of Jesus Christ. March 5th, we spoke about Holy Spirit and the part that Holy Spirit plays in this whole process. And it's simple. The part that Holy Spirit plays in this whole process is simple. Everything. Everything from beginning to end. And last week, we spoke about grace. That in spite of all of the help that God is giving us, all of the direction, all of the Holy Spirit, all of the gift, all of the fruit of the Spirit, and you know, growing into His character, in spite of all of that, sometimes we fall down and we get up. We fall down and we get up. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up. And the only reason we are able to get up is through the gift of Holy Spirit, grace of God. You see, by grace, we have the opportunity to grow. And the question and the title of the message, basically, if you read the front, it's how far? As a result of all of the information, all of the teaching, the new classes we've been having and the Bible studies, how far have we come? Have we grown? You see, this is our wake-up call. How far have we moved? To whom much is given, much is required. How far have we moved? You see, while we slumber, the evil one is entering the household. The evil one is already attacking our kids. The evil one is attacking us while we slumber. You see, while we slumber, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in our household that we may not know about. And hence the reason why I'm asking that we become more vigilant. How far have we moved? How much have we used the information that we've gotten in the past couple months? You see, there's a battle raging. And you see, there's no more that we can say, well, you know, sit back and just pray and pay. You see, this life is not about praying and paying. This life is about work. This life is about getting down into the ditches, picking up your sword, and fighting. We have been called to a battle. And see, quite often I find that in Christianity, in Christendom, we have a group of people who are quite content to sit back and say, well, the Lord is my protector. The Lord is my shield, right? No weapon formed against me will prosper. God is my righteousness. God is my protector. God is my savior. And then we even sing songs about it. I am under the rock. You all know that song? The rock is higher than I. Jehovah, hide me. I am under the rock. Meaning that I am under the protection of that rock called Jesus Christ. Right? And we also say that he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. And we talk about Jesus being our fortress and our high tower. But what we need to realize is that all of this promise of protection, all of this promise of being under the rock and under the protection of Jesus Christ are for those people who are doing God's work. We can't be expecting to be sitting back, not involved in the battle, and receive all of the benefits of being a soldier because we are just a regular citizen. Now, ain't nothing wrong with that, but if you're a disciple, then disciple. If you're a disciple, then disciple. Wake up. Enough slumber. I know, I didn't intend this to be this heavy. You see, gone are the times when we have the, I guess, Switzerland. You know, that nation that, is it Switzerland or Sweden? One of those, it's Sweden, right? Down the middle. Don't take a side. Switzerland. Okay. Switzerland doesn't take a side. They are neutral. There is no neutrality in this battle, people. Because Christ says that if you're not for him, I'm not saying it. It's in the Bible. If you're not for me, you're against me. Right? Read the book of Luke. If you're not for me, you're against me. And Satan, hey, he don't play favorites. He don't really care if you're neutral or not. Hey, this is not my battle, okay? This is not my battle. I'm out of this. You all do your thing out there. And it doesn't work that way. Because at the end of it all, the bottom line, where the rubber meets the road, is that everyone is involved. So some people are scared of persecution. I mean, you're going to be persecuted anyway, right? Some people are scared of dying. You're going to die anyway, right? So, I mean, which is best, to die serving Satan or die serving God? Either way, you're going to die. Now, okay, please don't get the impression that I'm expecting people to walk out there and then all of a sudden you're going to have a mass shooting or something. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about taking up our cross, like Christ asked, and following. Because what it comes down to is, where are we here? How far have we come? Have we moved? At the beginning of the year or late last year, the question was asked, how many people are willing to disciple just one person? How many people are willing to disciple just one person? And the question was asked also, how many people would make a covenant? I can't remember if I used those specific words, right? To disciple that one person. And my question is, how are we doing in discipling? Are we making progress? You see, there's some of us here who believe that, well, let me wait, and I would look to see, and I would find that one person. I have the entire year. And I'm going to find that one person that God is going to send me to disciple. That's not the way it works. We don't get to choose who we disciple. What did Christ say? He says, the field is ripe. Anyone ever been in a field that was ripe? I grew up orange and grapefruit. And when that season came about, you can close your eyes, climb any tree, pick any fruit, and you know that fruit is going to be ripe. You know that fruit is going to be sweet. So when Christ says, the harvest is ripe, we can literally walk out there and touch anyone, and they need Jesus. Is there anyone you could think of that doesn't need Jesus? I mean, right here in this congregation, some of y'all need Jesus. I need Jesus. So when it comes to discipling, it's not a matter of, you know, trying to figure out who's the one that God is going to. God sends hundreds and thousands and millions of people. We just got to get out there and do one. That's all. So I guess what I want to end here by saying is, don't be picky. Just go out. Pick an orange. Pick an apple. Pick a mango. Pick a plum. Pick a pear. Pick something. That's all Jesus is asking. Go do the harvest. Protect your house. It's twofold. The degree to which you protect your house is the degree to which we grow. The degree to which we grow is the degree to which our house is protected. It's not of us, it's of God. Amen?
Amen.
God, we want to thank you. We want to thank you, great God in heaven, for who you are, and we want to thank you, great God in heaven, for what you are doing in your work. Thank you, great God in heaven, that you've called us and that you've given to us information. You've given to us knowledge. You've given to us wisdom. You have given to us many, many spiritual gifts, and we are growing, Father, into your character with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, Father. All of that, Father, we have it. But what we lack, great God in heaven, is that desire, that kick in the pants that we need to get out there and to do your work. And all it takes, great God in heaven, is belief, because you've already put within us what we need to do this work. So we thank you, great God in heaven, for the listening ears, for the open hearts and open minds that you have given us. And you have said, go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel unto all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, recognizing that you are always with us. Help us, great God in heaven, to be vigilant, to be looking, Father, to be looking for those opportunities that you provide continually and daily for us to do your work. Opportunities, Father in heaven, to be disciples even of our own children. Father, we are under attack, and it's no surprise. But we thank you, great God in heaven, that we've been counted worthy to receive such blessings from you, knowing that it is through you, Father, that our faith becomes stronger. So we thank you, and we pray for your guidance in the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.